going to. There we go. Hello, everybody. I'll give people a few minutes to get in here. I'm going to change my name so you know who I am. All right. As everybody gets in here, we'll have Coach Judith in the chat with you tonight. And just a minute early. All right. And there we go. And tonight, this call is the Mindful Drinking subgroup call, so that all of you know. And we will be calling people up to be coached. So if you raise your hand, you can get coached tonight. Coach Judith will also be answering questions in the Q&A, as well as in the chat. There we go. So yeah, nobody can see anybody on the screen until you're called up. So that should be fine. Okay, there we go. So as everybody keeps getting in here, I will introduce myself. This is actually my first live coaching call. So I have been with NoBS though for 3 years. And I found Corinne actually when I started with home day. I was doing home daycare, and I was thinking about retiring because I was miserable. I just wasn't liking myself. I wasn't liking my life. I wasn't liking all the things. So I thought I needed a change. And somehow I found Corinne. Must have been on Facebook. I'm not exactly sure. But I found her the very last day that membership was open and decided not to join. I regret that, but I did join the next time she opened. Like the second the doors opened, I was right there ready to join. And I did. And then I retired from my home daycare. And I basically did no BS full time for like the next year. I decided that I was going to take this like sabbatical year kind of, where I was going to figure out what I wanted to do when I grew up. And I was so glad that I found no BS. So in that next year, I lost like 80 pounds, and drinking has, oh, hello to everybody. Drinking for me has always sort of been a part of our lives. It's been a big part. So while I was losing that 80 pounds, I was working on that leveling up. I was working on, you know, drinking less days, but, and I kept leveling it up to the point where it was kind of like once a week I was doing it. And then COVID hit. And when COVID hit, it was actually a big trigger for me because my mom actually had SARS like 20 years ago. And it was a pretty scary time. She was in the hospital for over 4 months. And we were very lucky that she made it out of the hospital. So when COVID hit, it was really tough on me. It brought back a lot of fear and a lot of feelings. And so guess where my habit brain went? Right back to drinking. So that's where we went. You know, it was a tough time. We were back to like four nights, five nights a week drinking, that kind of thing. And became something that I really needed to work on. I wanted to, you know, improve. I hired a private coach actually through NoBS. I worked with her for about 6 months where we really got into what it was. And it was, you know, it really all started from just a tiny thing of me thinking that doesn't matter. What's a little bit? What's a little bit here? What's a little bit there? That type of thing. So it was interesting working with the coach and learning and understanding that I really could control my thoughts, that it wasn't, you know, something that was out of my control, and learning how to plan my drinks and how to then follow that plan. So that's a lot of what I learned. Kind of feel like I'm rambling here, but I just wanted to share from the point of letting you all know that I've been there. I was in the unofficial mindful drinking group for quite a while. I was one of those that, you know, didn't speak up a lot, but I really appreciated, you know, the conversations that were going on and learning from everybody as well. So, I've been there. I've done that. I've got the set of wine glasses to prove it. So, the last thing I want to say is, yeah, raise your hands if you'd like to be coached. We'll be here for about an hour. So, we'll get through as many people as we can. And, we'll go from there. All right, let's see who we have. Okay, we have a Teresa, I'm going to bring you up. And then after Teresa, I have Dorita. So I will promote you to panelist. There we go. I'm going to ask you to unmute, Teresa. There. All right, we can hear you.
Okay, so I've got a unique issue with drinking. Okay. So I actually get paid to drink.
Okay.
I'm a wine sommelier for a restaurant. It's one of these private restaurants. We only do 16 guests and we have private jets fly in. Okay. And prepare the wine to the course. It's one seating and we go through about 14 wines.
Okay.
So my job is to, of course, taste the wine, pair the wine, but then I also do drink.
Okay.
The wine, and that's part of my job. Mm-hmm. And again, I do this for fun, but I get paid very well to do it.
Okay. Yep.
So I've tried putting into my 24-hour plan, and I just put sips of wine because I may sip 13 wines, but they're small pours, but it does add up. And I'm noticing that it stimulates my appetite.
Okay.
So I do pack food to bring. But I'm so busy that I don't necessarily eat what I bring there. So then I go home and then, of course, I raid my fridge, honestly.
Okay. So
I'm trying to figure out, you know, it's just one of those, it's an awesome job. I'm very lucky to have it.
Okay.
You know, it's... Yeah. So I have wine reps come out. They bring, you know, five or six bottles of wine. Each bottle is like $500 a bottle. And what? So I taste them.
Okay.
So drinking is.
So which, part of it is the problem? The drinking of the wine or the raiding of the fridge?
For me, it's the raiding of the fridge.
Okay.
And I keep, and I've done so many 24-hour plans trying to snack while I'm there. Well, I mean, I'm constantly pouring and talking about wine and I bring, you know, my snacks because I can eat the food there. But if I snacked on the food there, I mean, we're doing lobster, all these really high-end dishes. I mean, I'd weigh 500 pounds. And right now I'm probably 50 pounds overweight.
Okay.
So I try to bring my own food, but I'm finding
it.
Well, about a year. We started out as guests, and then the owner just said, "Hey, I know you're retired, and it'd be way cheaper for you and your husband if I just paid you to come here, and I'll pay for all your courses, and I'll pay you in wine, and I'll pay you."
Okay, so
it's just once in a lifetime kind of fun job.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. And so has this pattern or this habit of coming home and then raiding the fridge been consistent for the whole year?
I would say overall, yes. It is consistent the nights I work. Yes.
And how many nights do you work?
Usually I'll do one or two, but if, you know, if we have like a VIP guest come in, or like a, you know, like a rock band or something like that fly in, I'll make sure I work those nights because yeah, I want to meet these people. Mm-hmm. So there's some weeks that we'll have, I'll work every night because I want to actually meet them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then when you come home.
Yes.
What happens?
I come home, walk in. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm so hungry, to my husband. And of course, you know, you like, how was the night? And it was great. And then I open the fridge and then I just pull out whatever I find that's quick. So I've been trying to add in my 24-hour plans to have pre-prepped meals in there, you know, that are portioned out. So at least if I grab something, I know that it's not cake or it's a nutritious meal, but I don't know if I'm really hungry or if it's just a routine I have.
So have you actually done the pre-prepped meal portions, that type of thing? Have you done that so far? And how did that go?
It's great. I eat it all. I go to bed with a very full stomach and I wake up and I swear I'm still full.
Okay.
I feel groggy.
You just made those pre-prepped meals smaller.
Yeah, I do need to do that. And I try and bring them with me thinking I'll eat them, but I'm finding I'm failing at all my 24-hour plans because I put it in there and it's every night, sips of wine and then eat your food that you packed, and I'll write down what I packed in my little lunchbox. And I have the sips of wine and I come home and throw that food away and just eat what's in the fridge.
Okay. So how many times have you tried this pre-prepped meals in the
fridge? I've tried it now for about 3 weeks.
And so how's it gone in this past 3 weeks? You say you're eating that. Like, are you still, like your first comment was you're raiding the fridge. Is that still raiding the fridge or is it leveled
up? I'm reading my pre-prepped meals because before, and it was my husband's idea, he's like, why don't you just get those little to-go things from Costco, little plastic ones, and just put food in there and then you know when to stop.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I didn't think of that. So that's what I've been doing. I'm just trying to decide, is it now a routine? Am I really hungry?
Okay.
And
it's so interesting that you say this though, because the first thing you wanted me to know is that you'd come in and raid the fridge afterwards. And it's like, oh, but I haven't done that in 3 weeks.
Right. I raid my boxes.
Yeah. But we're not giving ourselves credit here.
Right.
For like this level up that you've already done, which is making this pre-portioned amount. Now, what if we just made it smaller?
I'm going to make it. That's a great idea. I'm going to make it smaller because at first when I joined No BS, I thought, okay, I'll cut back on the wine. Mm-hmm. Well, I put that into my plan and I tried it for a couple of nights and it's like, wait a minute. I enjoy this.
Yeah.
This is a unique opportunity that I get.
Yeah.
And I keep my pores very small because there's no way I could drive home.
Right.
You know, I keep them very small and I know exactly how much to pour because that's what I am trained to do.
Yes.
So by the time I'm done with work, I would say that I have about a glass and a half because I have tried to measure it out.
Yeah.
But okay. It is definitely an appetite stimulant.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, and certainly you can, you know, you could put a sticky note on the pre-planned meal and say, okay, are you actually hungry? Like some sort of trigger to remind you, are you really hungry right now? But we could kind of come at it from both sides too, right? Where it's also, okay, well, if this pre-prepped meal portion is working, how about we work on reducing it to so that you're not waking up full with that full feeling. We're not actually eating, overeating. Because mm-hmm. You may well be hungry. You've just gone this evening and had a glass and a half of wine and didn't make time for snacks or anything. So yeah. You could be hungry.
I think I need to explore that. You know, am I and I like your idea of cutting it in half. Yeah. And if I'm still hungry, then okay, add a little bit more and just give that some time.
Keep experimenting and see the wins that you're having here as you do it. Because I think that might be also what was missing at first, is not noticing that, hey, no, I'm not raiding the fridge afterwards anymore. Now that mm-hmm. I've done this, I've done a level up, I've been successful with this level up. Now what's next?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I'd love to hear in the group if, you know, how that goes.
Okay. Thank you.
I all want your job. That would be a fantastic
job. It is an awesome job.
And I it think is. Highly qualified, really. So drink enough wine. Okay. Well, thank you so much thank for you. Coming up, Teresa. All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And next we have, oh, thank you, Jean. Yes, nice to see you here too. I have Dorita, and then Stacy will be after. Promoted you.
There I am.
Here you Can are. You hear-
Everybody says this. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm a hot, sweaty mess. I just got off the golf course.
Okay.
And it's 5 o'clock-ish here, which I'll tell you what that means in Arizona, but it really starts at 4, not at 5.
Okay.
So instead of that, I am here talking to you guys.
You're here with
this
us.
I've been with No BS since August. This is the first time I've ever been coached.
Oh, and my first time doing it live too, so we're perfect yeah. for each other.
And there's probably no better group for me to be coached in than this one. I've got so many thoughts that I'm going to try to focus here a little bit, but I think we're all thinking about Teresa and her job. And the, yes. the thing that strikes me is the glass and a half.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Be more like, anyway, I would never get out of there with the glass and a half. So I guess I've been through probably every drinking program that I'm aware of anyway. I've never been to AA before because I don't believe I'm an alcoholic. I do believe that at times in my life I've abused alcohol, mm-hmm. drank more than is healthy for me. And they never, these programs don't seem to stick. I do really well for a while, and then I'll admit it, I'm back to drinking every day. Most everyone that I know, I mean, you can tell I'm older, we're retired. Almost, I would say everyone I know drinks every day. Okay. And so I that may seem really odd to a lot of people, but it's very common with retired people. When they have more time on their hands, no responsibilities, you don't have to get up. And
so why is it a problem?
Because it's,
yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
oh, maybe you too.
I am. Yeah, I've been at my goal weight for 5 years, and right now I'm about 3 pounds over what I really like to be. And the very first thing that I always cut out when I'm over where I want to be is alcohol. And I get pissy and grumpy. And like, I didn't drink yesterday. And my husband said, what's wrong with you? I heard Corrine say that our brains are always looking for a problem to solve. And I can't decide if I need to reduce my drinking or if my brain is just looking for a problem to solve. But if I take the test, I am definitely drinking too much, and I'm drinking at an unhealthy level.
Okay.
So I can't, I'm having trouble deciding for myself what I should be doing.
Okay. Well, the beauty is that you do get to decide. Mm-hmm. And so you said you're drinking at an unhealthy amount?
Well, first of all, I don't know whoever decided 5 ounces was a glass of wine. Because by my way of thinking, a bottle of wine has three glasses in it.
Okay.
Which is a little bit more than 8 ounces per pour. So
yeah.
Go away. It's my husband. I don't think it takes much to realize that a bottle of wine a night is too much wine. And I don't drink a bottle of wine a night anymore. I certainly used to. How do you decide what an unhealthy level is? I mean, if you go by the experts, you shouldn't be drinking more than one glass of wine, which is 5 ounces. That's the real why bother level for me. And I think just a couple of times a week. Otherwise, you're drinking at an unhealthy level.
Okay. Have you ever spoken to your doctor about it?
Well, I lie to my doctor.
Well, I think most doctors know that we all do that.
Yeah, so. They double whatever it is you tell them that you drink, they double it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So really, it's assessing your own life. I mean, I'm not a physician, so I can't really weigh in exactly on what an unhealthy amount is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're part of the mindful drinkers. So it's, are you being mindful about it? Are you feeling, how do you feel? How, you know, that type of thing.
What's rare, I think, in my daughter is exactly the same age as Corrine, almost to the day.
Yeah.
And she has 2 glasses of wine, and then in the morning she feels like shit.
Yeah.
Well, I can have 3 glasses of wine, wake up and feel great.
Okay.
I don't get hangovers like that. I would have to really overdo it in order to have a hangover.
Okay.
I mean, really overdo it. So what am I asking? What I'm asking is, it's the shoulds. Should I be drinking less? Should I be more mindful of the level that I'm drinking so I can maintain my health at 72 years old? I'm really, really healthy. And I don't want to suddenly, 5 years from now, have some problem that I don't have now.
Okay. So to me, that kind of sounds like something you might want to discuss with a doctor to say, okay, you know me, you know, they would probably know your tests that you've had and levels.
I don't have any liver enzyme issues or anything like that.
So, you know, is it our brain looking for a problem?
That's where I keep going back to.
Yeah.
My first diet was when I was 10 years old. So believe me, losing 60 pounds this late in age, was no small feat. I did it many times. And now that I've stayed this weight for so long, I just keep, I think that's what I'm doing. I'm looking for the next issue that I need to work on.
Yeah, I think we all have enough problems.
And I'm looking for you to give me the permission to not.
Well, and as I say, I'm not a physician, so I'm not hearing, advice that, sure, it's healthy, you drink every day.
Right.
You know, that's certainly not for me to say, but I think when we talk about being mindful and with our drinking, how is it affecting me physically? Is it affecting my life? You know, am I still functioning and doing all the things that I want to do? How do I feel? Right? Like how does it feel in my body?
Great.
Well, I mean, like even the next day or that type of thing. Like,
I do want to say one thing because one more thing. I just realized something. I came home after playing golf and I had yogurt and blueberries. Well, I realized a long time ago that I often drink to not eat. Now, I know that sounds stupid, but the amount of food that I just ate will spoil my appetite for dinner. And that's something that I've uncovered with the journaling, that I don't want to spoil my appetite for dinner. So the way to do that is, instead of eating when I'm hungry, I have my wine, and then I can enjoy my dinner too. I'm very aware I do that, and maybe others, maybe they've never thought of that, but I've uncovered that.
Okay.
And I don't know what to do about it. I mean, I haven't had enough food physically today, but yet I know I won't be hungry now for dinner.
So how do you know you haven't had enough food physically for your body today?
Because my mind is a calculator for calories.
Right.
I know. I can't. It's just click, 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 click. I can tell you, I know exactly how many calories I've had today.
And the thing is, though,
because I know what I planned and I know what I ate.
Yeah. And that's our old diet mentality still creeping back in of counting the calories.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's why I like to recommend, like, listening to your body. If you're hungry, eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying if you're not hungry, if you're, you know, to drink instead. But but again, like,
you're
really,
not drinking.
Yeah, I feel like I'm sort of saying it again. It's like that it's all part of being mindful. Do you plan how much you plan your drinks for the day? Do you plan your food?
I'm not as good at planning my drink as I plan my food, because I can say I'll drink this certain amount and then I'll get to that amount and then I won't give a shit anymore.
Do you assess? Write down how much you did have?
I'm always aware of how much I have. Yeah. It's not, I mean, I don't drink to a level where I would be unaware of how much I drank. I don't do that. I mean,
like the next day, like on your assessment, actually write down how much you did have.
Oh, yes.
Be another great way to really keep track of, okay, let me be really brutally honest with myself. This is, and keep track of the numbers. And then only you know if this is too much.
Well, that's what I'm struggling with. I don't know what too much is. But I feel like I've taken enough time, but I,
well, I'd like you to get curious about that and see if that's like, 'cause you did come on to get coached. So it may be that, you know, you are kind of thinking to yourself, maybe this is too much. So maybe really look at how much you're having over the, like, and keep track of it and of the assessment, writing it down and then deciding, do I want to work on cutting back one, or, you know, come up with some ideas and we can chat about it in the Facebook group too. But watch when you're using it, like you said at the very beginning, against yourself of, you know, okay, I better cut out the alcohol. I've got gained 3 pounds. You know,
seems like the healthiest place to cut when you're over your desired weight.
Yeah, it can be if we use a thought like that. Well, this is a healthy place. I'm doing this out of love. It is great timing for the self-love course this month, because maybe when you're exploring the self-love course, you could think about it in terms of the alcohol you're drinking. And does it fit in with the, you know, your process for loving yourself too? Maybe you do it from a place of love instead of a place of punishment of, gotta cut out the alcohol.
Right. I weigh 3 pounds too much. So now I have, that's very negative.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I appreciate your time.
All right. I appreciate you. Thank you for coming on.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. We have Stacy. Don't promote you to panelist. And then we have Zoom user next. Hi, Stacy. We'll ask you to unmute. Oh, you're still muted. There you go. All right. Welcome. How are you? Oh, I can't hear you. You've muted again. There.
Here we go.
Okay.
All right. This is the first time I've ever been coached.
Okay. Well, welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
This is a real embarrassing topic.
We're all with you. It's okay. Go for it.
Let's see. I have a pretty big habit. Let's see. We'll say about 7 drinks per night, every night. And okay. It is causing me problems. I'll say as far as physical feeling, not as far as functionality, if that makes any sense.
Yep.
But I've decided, I've really battled with this decision for years. And what I'd really like to do is quit.
Okay.
And I have been able to do things like Angela Macenic's wine-free work week and all of that, but nothing sticks. It's just nothing sticks.
Okay. Have you done our mindful drinking course?
I have.
Okay.
I don't do well with planning them. There's something, I don't catch the thoughts, but there's something about planning that just, I'll always go over.
Well, there you go. You caught the thought.
Yeah.
That's the thought. Yeah, when we go into it with this thought of, well, I'll always go over, and it's no wonder whatever we plan doesn't stick, right?
Right. Maybe the plan is unrealistic to try to cut back too much too quick.
It could be, or it might not be.
I know this habit is the reason I'm not losing any weight. That's a lot of calories.
Okay.
Probably, I'd say anywhere between 400 and 700 calories of it every day.
Okay.
That's enough to offset anything else, not to mention all the health risks that go with it. But fortunately, I am honest with my doctor, and I don't have any health issues, no lab abnormalities or anything. So.
Okay. And do you plan your food every day?
I do.
And do you plan snacks? Yeah.
I don't have as much of an issue with planning that as I do.
Do you follow your plans?
Well, I make a lot of swaps. Most of the time, they're even swaps. I exercise hard every day at a gym. And it's really strange. If I go to, say, my father's house for a visit, I don't have this issue. I don't do anything there. I would never consume alcohol in front of my father.
Why not? Not
something I would do. He would not approve.
Okay.
He just would not approve. So I don't have any issues there. But the minute I get home, it seems almost every day, the stress comes on and it's the first thing I go to.
So it's a habit.
Right. It's a habit.
It's a habit because the stress probably doesn't just come on the minute you get home, does it?
Lots of times it does. I live in a small house and my daughter and her 3 kids live with us. The space is very cramped. They're very young children. It's very loud. They're not well disciplined. It's stressful.
Okay. And do you overeat?
Not usually, and not usually when I'm drinking either. I usually don't eat when I drink.
Okay. So you want to quit drinking altogether?
I do.
How do you think you'd have to feel in order to do that?
I'm not sure how I'd have to feel. Motivated, for one thing, able to handle stress without that. Capable, I guess.
Okay. And how do we feel motivated or capable?
We have to think thoughts that make us feel motivated or capable. right?
Yeah. Generally, those thoughts tend to come, though, from doing, from building our belief in ourselves that we can do it. Because the story you've got so far is that...
I know I can do it.
Oh, okay.
Because I have done it.
So then what's going on? Why haven't you done it now?
Well,
you can do this. Tell me about that.
I just believe, I mean, I believe I can do anything I really put my mind to doing.
I believe in that too.
But I just don't understand why I'm having such a problem with the desire of it. And that irritates me as well.
Well, go. So you believe that you can do anything you put your mind to doing, but you're feeling like you're struggling with the desire to do it. Is that what it is?
The desire to drink. I struggle with that desire. Even when I do go on a break and I can listen to my thoughts and I do hear what causes. Sometimes it's just boredom. Sometimes everybody's gone to bed and I'm bored and that will trigger it. And I've seen
it doesn't matter why.
Right.
What if you just had to accept, okay, I'm going to want to drink. But I believe I can do anything I put my mind to doing.
Okay. And I've never thought of that approach before. I just get stuck in my own head.
We get stuck in wanting to know why so that we like can have some equal answer to why. And it often blocks us from just do it. Because I love that. I mean, you were quite confident there. I believe I can do anything I put my mind to doing. So what if you just sat with the urge of, okay, I'm going to want this.
But no.
But no. You accept the urge. I use this analogy a lot with my private clients, actually, where I say, picture yourself, and this would be great for you. Picture yourself with this family. All the family that lives with you, you take them to a hotel for the night. You check into the hotel. You're all in the hotel room. 4 a.m, the fire alarm goes off. Now you have all this family with you that you're now panicking, gathering up. Everybody's running out of this hotel, running outside. And you're all kind of freaking out going, what's going on? But what if the same situation happened and the night before, when you checked in, the hotel manager said to you, I'm so sorry, Stacy, but we're going to have a fire drill at 4 a.m. This fire alarm is going to go off, but it's okay. It's just a drill. Nobody has to go anywhere. It would be a very different situation, right? 4 a.m, the alarm would go off and you would just say, everybody, it's okay. Back to sleep. It's all good. Nobody's running. Nobody's panicked. Nobody's worried.
This is true.
So it's the same with our urges. It's the same with this kind of urge. What if you just knew, I'm going to want it. I know I'm going to want it. But what if it's just a drill? It's not something I have to answer right away.
And that's strange because every morning I tell myself that. But every evening it's like, well, maybe we'll try this tomorrow. Maybe there will be a better time down the road to try this.
And the thing is, that thought comes into your mind and you're believing it. Instead, you could remind yourself, oh, wait, but I believe I can do anything I put my mind to doing.
Okay. I'll give that a try.
Yeah, that thought could also be true. So work on that. Those urges aren't a fire alarm. They're just a drill. There is no fire. You don't have to be running out. You don't have to listen to it. You don't have to act from it.
Okay.
And again, it would be a beautiful approach. Yeah. Well, it'd be great if you would share with us in the group too. Let us know like how that goes.
I will.
Okay.
I think I'll try that.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on and we will talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Stacy. Okay, we have a Zoom user next, and then got about 20 minutes left. So if anybody else wants to raise their hand, we might have time. Otherwise, I'll just have to keep sharing analogies. Okay. I'm going to ask you to unmute.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I can't believe I actually got picked. I've never been coached before, and I'm a newer member with No BS.
Okay.
So
I'm glad you put your hand up. So what's your name?
I'm Sally.
Sally. Okay. Nice to meet you. This is my first night coaching live, so we're in it together. That's okay. So what's going on?
So I've never, like, I don't drink during the week. Okay. My problem is the weekend. My husband drinks a lot. He drinks every day. And, you know, that's his deal. But on Fridays, you know, he wants me to go out with him. And we go to the bar because that's where all our friends hang out. And I plan, like, okay, I'm going to have a sparkling water first. Then maybe I'll have a Michelob Ultra. Then try to do another water. But it's like almost like you then fog drink, if that makes any sense, like everybody else's, and then you get caught up with it. Or if I go out to dinner, like I always tell myself, okay, I'm going to have, you know, this many. And you kind of get caught up, like, this tastes really good. I'm enjoying it. I like how I feel. Yeah. Or you get caught up in the whole social aspect of it.
Yeah.
And then when I get home, then it turns into the, I binge eat. Like, I'll eat a half a pizza, like, all these things that weren't on my plan. And then the next morning, I wake up feeling horrible. I don't, you know, like Corinne always talks about, oh, people are feeling ashamed and like that. No, I don't feel bad about myself. It's just like my joints hurt. I have a headache. I didn't sleep good. Like I just physically don't feel well.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out like how can I enjoy being social because I can't change the people that I'm around.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of like, how do I?
Well, first of all, it's maybe looking at, well, you could change the people you're around. Like you could, and it's okay to not want to.
Well, I guess you're right. Yes. But, I'm not planning on leaving my husband.
No. But that's what I mean. So it's just sort of being honest with ourselves about what we do actually have control over and what we don't. Because when we start with, well, you know, I can't change the people I go out with, it can tend to sort of have that like victim mentality, like that it's, you know, I have no control here. So if we remind ourselves first that, well, I could, but I don't want to. I'd like my friends. I want to hang out with my husband. So we're going to take that as a problem off the table. Okay. Like this is the situation. Now, what am I going to do about it? So what else do I have control over or not?
I mean, I know I have control over my mouth. Ultimately, no one's pouring booze down me.
Yeah.
I have a lot of like FOMO, fear mm-hmm. of missing out.
Yeah.
Or
Sally, your video is cutting out a little bit.
Drinking, and then I want to go home. How do I deal with these urges? Like I make plans, but I don't stick with my plans. And that's even with food. Like, for example, I know like the, you know, I even practice and rehearse things in my head. It's like, oh yeah, there's going to be this in the break room and that's okay. It's normal for it to want to taste good. But next thing I know, without even thinking, I don't know if anybody ever had, like, if you've ever heard of this, like, there's no thoughts in your head. You just see and do. Like, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, what just happened? Does that make any sense?
Oh, it totally makes sense. And it's something that we can practice by just being curious, because we all have the thoughts. The thoughts are there. Our brains just don't go without thoughts. The thing is, you have like 60,000 thoughts a day. So it's absolutely normal that you're not going to catch them all and you're not going to necessarily hear them all. But the more that we sort of open ourselves up to being willing to notice them without judging them, and this is before we're even trying to really change things, it's to more, we call it the now process in OBS, where we talk about, you know, noticing just what's going on. Notice this feeling, notice that this moment is happening, and then open yourself up to all of it. Open yourself up to, oh, I just ate this. Even if it's right afterwards, do it in that moment. I just ate this. What am I feeling? Like, what is going on? What was going on before this? Like, really just being open to all of that and being willing to witness it without that judgment, without anything else. It's just witnessing it and just paying attention to, I wonder what could be going on here. And that's how we get in touch with some of our thoughts, is by just really opening ourselves up to, not from a place of I have to change this right this minute, but from a place of what is this even? Because that's what you're saying, is you're not even hearing the thoughts or seeing them. Well, that's how we slow ourselves down a little bit, and it can start with afterwards.
How do you do it in the thick of it? Like, I'm at the, you know, it's happening like right now, but you're in a pub. Any thought, like, because I understand, like, I was thinking about the whole now process and I listened to it and I even thought,
okay,
take a sticky note and I'm just going to write down what happened, the time, the date, and what I was feeling really quick, and sticking it in my pocket and then dealing with it later. But like, if you're in the thick of it, like in a big social study, what's the best way?
That might not be the time to do it, because I suspect this is happening in more than just that one situation.
Oh yeah.
So putting yourself in a position of going, okay, well, let's find the toughest situation and that's where we need to start, probably isn't as loving as you could be. Right?
I'm so frustrated because I've been on this weight loss journey for, like everybody else, and that's why we're here, right? Yeah. I keep gaining and losing weight, and I'm like type A. I'm also like one of those, you know, and I feel like I'm dealing with a couple different things. There's the social drinking aspect, and then the eating. It's like,
I suspect the eating afterwards comes from the beating yourself up that you didn't follow the drinking plan that you wanted to follow to begin with.
Or I'm just drunk and I'm like,
okay, there's that too.
I'm just being honest. Like, or I'm just trying to figure out a way, like, how do I go about, you know, where I can stick to my plans and still have being social and everything.
We practice and we adapt, and then we practice again, and then we adapt, and then we keep trying to level it up and level it up. So you said when you go out, you usually try to start with a sparkling water. Does that work?
Yeah. Sometimes for the most part, yeah, it does.
And you go to order the beer?
Yes.
What if you ordered both at the same time?
I've done that.
Like, start with the sparkling water the first time, but then the next time order both and just keep doing that. That keeps it in rotation.
Yeah. I mean, I have done that before. I need a tall water and this at the same time.
Did that help?
Sometimes. And I think it depends on like what else is going on at the same time too. Was it a really shitty week at work?
That's another situation.
Like, you know, triggering it.
Yeah. So that's another situation where we're, you know, we've got some thoughts and feelings and stuff like that going on, and now we're going to alcohol to escape from it. That's different than how in the moment do we just do this. So the other thing that I have often suggested is to do what if you did a successful urge worksheet before you went and thought about, okay, I'm picturing myself doing what I set out to do here. What is it that I am thinking or feeling? Like, fill out the whole worksheet as if you followed your plan exactly as you intended. Because that can help you tap into, what am I going to need to think when I'm there in order to do this?
That's a good idea. I've never done that before. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Try that and see how that goes. And again, in different situations, you can try that, you know, the now thing where you're noticing, you're seeing what's going on, being willing to just witness, what are my thoughts? Because there could be just something sneaky in there, a little thought that we're not really even noticing, that's like, oh, what, why bother? What does it matter? Something like that. And that's one of those thoughts you get to choose. Am I listening to this tonight or not?
You're probably right. I mean, deep down, maybe I'm just masking a bunch of things.
Yeah. And then we tell ourselves, I don't know. We don't have thoughts. It's like, I probably do. I just don't want to hear them because I know they're not helpful. I'll just drink.
Or you have, for me, it's like the thoughts come later. It's like, I see it and then I just start eating and eating and eating. And then later on, it's like, well, why did I just do that? Huh. Any sense? Like,
yeah. But that is part of it. Like, Corinne has talked about the different stages of change too, right? So it is part of it to recognize it after the fact. That's one of the first stages. And that's really like at least 20% of the journey where we're in that stage of, we notice it after the fact. So the key is to not beat yourself up that you notice it after the fact. That's okay. You're noticing it. And then it's like, okay, now what? Now what am I going to do with this knowledge? I have this amazing gift of knowledge. I found this out after the fact. That's great. What am I going to do with it?
That's good. Good point.
Yeah. It's learning to use that knowledge for good. Use your powers for good, right? Thought more there than you're giving yourself credit for.
And again, I'm like, I guess I'm just to the point where I just want to be done with the whole journey and get to the whole maintenance.
Of course, we all do.
Everybody else.
Yeah, but that's the thing though. It's because we think once we're there, well, then it's just easy. There, we're taking all these thoughts with us when we go there. So let's, you know, polish them up and work on finding the ones that are helpful so that we've got amazing thoughts to think when we get there too. Amazing things to tell ourselves. Not just on the journey, but we're going to need them when we get there. Or it's not going to be a very nice place to stay over there. Okay.
All right. Well, I'll try that urge worksheet then. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. I found that to be a very useful thing. So give that a shot. And again, let us know how it goes.
Thanks for listening. I think I just needed to vent too. Like, it's just been hard lately.
Give yourself some credit. You're noticing a lot more than I think you're giving yourself credit for. So
thank you.
You're welcome, Sally. Okay, take care.
You have a good night.
You too. Okay, we have 7 minutes left. Jody, you're up. Can we do this? I'm off mic. There we go. believe, Jody. There you go.
Oh, there you are. Now you can hear me.
I can hear you. I can't see you.
Yeah, I'm going to try and leave my camera off. I'm not going to lie. This is my downtime, and I am relaxing a little bit too much to be on camera.
All right. And so go for it. Tell me what's going on.
Okay. I've been noticing that I don't drink a lot. I am very careful about it and cautious because my father was an alcoholic, so I don't want to be that, and I'm super aware. So my kind of hard rule is that I drink once a week, and I try not to have more than 1-2 glasses a week, like wine. So I'm, but the problem is a lot of my wanting to escape is wanting to have that wine midweek, and then I don't have it as a relax on the weekend. And so then I end up drinking more than I wanted to, or in replace, I go get food that wasn't on my plan and stuff like that. So what I'm trying to understand is how to deal with this better when I go off plan or I do like a substitute or a switch, how I can wrap my mind around controlling it better so I don't feel like I'm always going to alcohol as an escape.
Okay.
Or so, to food as an option, you know what I mean? Because I almost always overeat. I'll limit my 1 glass of wine, but then I don't do like 1 bag of, you know, popcorn or something. I'll like go way beyond that and continue binge eating instead.
What happens the first time during the week?
Usually I'm stressed out with children. I'm young. I have got 5 kids that I homeschool. And it'll be hard. I've got multiple tears in the day parenting teenagers, or like we're busy because too many projects didn't get completed or anything like that. And I'm just like overwhelmed and I just want to relax. Yeah. So I'll relax with a glass of wine at the end of my day once the kids have gone to bed, which is, I feel like, is allowable. I don't feel ashamed about that.
Okay.
Right. It's just the...
But now you don't get to relax at the end of the week too.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like it never stops and I want to do this every day, which is right. Why I'm so cautious about it, that it could be a problem that I want to steer away from.
Okay. So... Right. Either way, whether it's in the middle of the week or it's at the end of the week, we're using the wine to relax.
Right.
Okay. What are you doing during the day to give yourself any relief from that stress?
I've been really focusing on just that deep breathing thing. Just like walking away, give myself 5 minutes, take 5 deep breaths, that type of thing. Okay. And then coming back to the situation, and it helps bring relaxation in the moment. But by the end of the day, I'm just tired and I give up. You know what I mean?
I wonder, have you been on the call all night?
Most of the night, yes.
Yeah. Like, I'm wondering if the whole fire alarm analogy resonates with you too. What if you just expected, I know I'm going to be exhausted at the end of the day and want to turn to wine? Is it wine you drink? What do you drink?
Yeah, I drink wine and cider.
Right. But what if you just expected that's what I'm going to want today?
Right. So if I want that and I plan for it.
Yeah.
And then
you were saying you only want to plan for it once a week.
Right. Right. And I mean, it does get to be a problem because I notice that I can drink more than one and feel really tipsy and the added calories. I drank very sugary alcoholic drinks. Yeah. So I notice the amount I drink is in excess, to the point that I feel like it's excess. And then I'm doing it multiple times. I don't know what to do. Yeah. With my thought.
So now we're adding judgment on top of it too. And we're sort of beating ourselves up for all of this.
Okay.
And how does that feel? Like, does it feel like you can be more in control when that's how you're coming at it?
I guess. Yeah. I've been trying to journal a lot on like the judgment and the self-love thought process.
Yeah.
And everything. And I find journaling hard. Therefore, I want to go relax and not do it. I want to go have a bowl of ice cream, have a glass of wine. So I mean, I almost avoid sometimes the work, like the process of it. I avoid it. And that's, I see as a problem. I just don't know how to fix it.
Well, and I can understand why you'd be avoiding it, because you're telling yourself it's hard.
Right.
But when we tell ourselves that, it's like, oh, well, I wouldn't want to do it either. So it's okay to have the thought. We can have the thought. This is going to be hard to journal. We want to give some equal airtime, right, to what else is also true. It could also be true that this could help me relax, that this could help me reframe my thoughts so I'm not just turning to ice cream or wine or whatever else it is at the end of the day.
Right. And so doing a, like I was mentioned, when you said successful urge worksheet first, yeah, or thinking as a drill first, mm-hmm, that would set my mind up to maybe actually follow through with the plan instead of.
Yeah, that sounds like
continuously a plus drinking.
Yeah. And keep recognizing through the day times when it would help to do some of that deep breathing, to walk away for a minute. You know what I mean? To come back to deal with the stress throughout the day as much as you can as well. So we're not just racing to get that relief at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would love for you to do that successful urge worksheet.
Okay. See, and I've always thought it was after a,
Oh, it is. This is just my thing.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, honestly, I've never filled out a successful urge worksheet because I'm always doing discoveries. Yeah. And I'm always planning to try and fix things, but I've not had a lot of success in going against these big desires, these urges.
Yeah, I just find, like I say, I suggested with my private clients and they've had great success with that, where they've found it really helps them set their mind to what they want to feel. They figure it out first. Oh, they can picture themselves having had the success. And that's really what we're all looking for, right? We're looking for that feeling of pride, of satisfaction, of accomplishment, that we sat through an urge or that we stuck to our plan.
Okay.
Okay. That so makes
sense. Yeah, I'll try that. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on tonight. And we are at time here. So yeah, I will just finish off by saying thank you so much to everybody for coming on tonight and for being part of my first live coaching call. This was great. I really appreciate everybody who raised their hands. So many of you first time as well. That's amazing. And I look forward to that self-love course this month for all of us in the mindful drinking. I think it will be fantastic. And there's also still time to sign up for Relationships Camp. If anybody hasn't, wants more information on that, you know, it's on our website, because our relationship with ourselves is so much the key to our relationship with alcohol and how we show up for ourselves and all that. So check that out too. And I will see you guys next time. I'll see you in our group. Take care.